It is now 7:01 on October 15th. Call the meeting to order. Join in the pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, indivisible, and justice for all.
I think rather than doing a roll call, why don't we just introduce everybody?
That sounds great to me.
Okay. Well, we'll start with Commissioner Spear.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, so I'm Richard Heap. I'm the vice president of the current group. In addition to this now, I'm also your PFMC sport fishing representative for salmon.
That's a tough one.
I'm on the Ocean Policy Advisory Council.
That's good.
And I'm on the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Restoration Enhancement Board. So.
You're busy, man.
I'm doing about, with this now, I'm pretty sure I'm going to hit 100 meetings, nights this year. So, but anyway, I volunteered to kind of get this group together to talk about special events. So.
I'm Danielle Shepherd. I'm port staff.
I'm Michael Pitts Campbell with the Southern Oregon Kite Festival. I was invited to be here.
Mary Helen Pitts Campbell with the Southern Oregon Kite Festival. I was invited to be here.
I'm Barbara Charmello with the Visitor Center, and I also do the fireworks.
Come on, Jane.
Jane Whaley, I was just inquisitive about the event committee.
Good.
Mike Frederick with Checo Brewing Company and do some of the events in the market down the road.
And I'm Alex Carr Frederick, Checo Brewing Company.
And I'm Joe Spear, happen to be on Tri-State Advisory Panel for the Crab and Oregon Advisory Panel for the Crab, and I'm your secretary for the Port of Brookings as a commissioner. I don't know how I became secretary, but...
You're the cutest.
Isn't that...
You have the best handwriting.
I do have very good handwriting. Yeah.
I'm going to pass this pad around. If you would write your name, email address and your phone number on there, and if you would rather be contacted by email, underline that. If you'd rather have a text message, underline your phone number. Okay, and I'll put together a list so everybody has it. We have to elect officers.
That's what I was told.
For what?
I decline.
We all decline. No one wants to hold a position. We just want to help.
Okay, well, since I'm here, I guess I'll just keep going.
Okay, sounds great.
We have an abbreviated agenda. Anybody have anything to add to it?
No.
Okay, so we want to make a motion to approve the agenda.
Is that something I'm allowed to do?
Business.
I guess so.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Got a motion and second to approve the agenda as written.
So you want it, Richard? Go that way, if I
want to go that way. all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We do have minutes from the first meeting we had, which was a pretty abbreviated meeting.
Yeah.
So. Would you like to make a motion to approve those?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes. Is that what you said,
yes.
Richard?
Yeah.
I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from Monday, September 17th. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Yep.
Aye.
Abstain.
Okay.
Since I wasn't here, I know.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. All right, so we don't have any cards for agenda-related comments, and now we'll get down to the meat here. So, events at the port. So, part of the reason that we wanted to put this meeting together was to talk about a couple of things that are pretty critical to the port as it relates to special events, and they're critical things that we can't ignore. First and foremost is parking. And the issue is the parking lot at the boat ramp. And the reason that's an issue is we have recently been in contact with the State Marine Board over some issues that relate to public use of these facilities. And we were told very clearly that the port may not allow activities that interfere with recreational fishing and the use of recreational fishermen of that parking lot. Let me be more specific. If that occurs and there are complaints, the port can lose its, well, actually we would have to pay back the grant that we got to build that. That's $1.2 million that we would have to pay back. Further, that would jeopardize our potential for getting grants in the future from that group. So that's an issue we got to fix.
And so is that where we park?
We don't know where people park. We tell them to park in front of the shops. We'll get around to that.
Yeah, so we're going to have to discuss what is a viable option for how we're going to fix that. The other issue that I want to make sure we talk a little bit about is security, particularly at these large events, that we make sure that the event sponsors have some security in mind. So those were the two things that were kind of top on my list. There's a couple of others that we're going to have to discuss and add to the application form, one of which is a checkoff box for harbor sanitation permits. If you bring in a portable toilet, you are required by harbor sanitation to have a permit for each one. And there
permit
is a
permit from whom?
Harbor sanitation. And there is a permit fee attached to that. I think they charge $10 a toilet, if I remember right. And we were advised of that by Harbor Sanitation about a month ago, that that's got to happen. So those are things from the port's perspective that we've got to figure out.
I don't see that it's, I could be wrong, but I don't see there's too much of a problem from the port standpoint, other than the organization has to certify that they have those permits and be ready to produce them should you ask or
that's
give
correct.
You copies of it.
But from the perspective of the port, if those permit or if those toilets are not properly permitted, we could be charged by Harbor Sanitation. So that's why we want to make sure we get that figured out. And I agree. I don't think
with the company like Harold's or
no. All I'm talking about is on this application form somewhere. There's going to be a box that says, do you intend to have portable toilets?
And we check off.
Yes, no. How many?
Yep.
And do you have checkbox? Do you have permits from Harbor Sanitation?
Yeah, that's about all it takes from the port standpoint.
Right. That's all.
You're released from liability, and if the organization screws up, then it's their problem. Well, I can't.
Mostly,
say that.
It's a reminder for everybody
yeah.
that we have to have that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really concerned about, is that everybody knows we got to have that, because it was a surprise to us, or at least to me, that there was a fee for that. I didn't know that.
Have they given any reasoning for that? I mean, because what we're doing is taking a load off of their system.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I understand that. That was the context in which it came up when we talked about it. Is okay, so again, I'll paraphrase kind of what they said. So we're not charging the port for the extra sanitation load that occurs during those events. We're not going to charge you for that, but people need to be aware there is a fee to put up a portable toilet within their service area. That's all I can tell you. But that's what we were told.
And actually, there is an additional load on their services because people are using the bathroom by the harbor and they're using the one in the RV park.
They're adding to the load when there's more people here, but that's whether it's an event or just a weekend when the weather's great.
Or a great sport fishing weekend.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Fires cause more traffic.
I agree with Mike. It's actually lessening their load if you have a portable toilet.
Because they're not concerned about when there's more people here. They're concerned about when we have a portable toilet here.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. I'm with you.
Well, we'll, and the other thing that that has come up that I think would be beneficial for us is, in terms of the description of the event, have a little more detail about what's going to happen. And we talked about any boat-related activities, if you need a permit from the Sheriff's Department or Coast Guard for that. And that's not something that we're going to try and impose on anybody. It's just a checkoff box on that application to make sure everybody's aware that they should follow through with those two entities. Okay. Well, those are the things that I have on my mind. What does everybody else have on their mind about special events?
If I could mention the parking thing over in the sport fishing area, what I understand that basically the rule they put on is that if it's used for other activities, then they could like require payback on it. But I mean, what do they require? I mean, if one person parks there, are they going to make you pay it back? I don't think so. But I would think it would be like a reasonable attempt. Posted parking. I mean, a 24-hour security guy, I don't think would probably be really reasonable.
Well, here's the situation as I see it. The port has to make a reasonable attempt to make sure that we prevent that. I don't think putting volunteers in a confrontational situation with somebody over there over a parking spot is worth it. I don't want to get into the boots and ticket writing and all that kind of stuff, because you know, we're trying to attract people to this port and make it a place they want to come. And if they're coming down here and getting their cars towed away, that's not going to go over well. So my thoughts are that we would get some big signs made that go on those folding sawhorse type stands that we can post in several places around that says boat trailer parking only. And I think to be reasonable, we might even be able to say boat parking only until 3 p.m. When the majority of the boat traffic comes out of there and it's not going to interfere with fishermen, I don't see a problem with having people park in there. It's just during that period when people are launching and retrieving their boats. And what happened, I was over there during the Pirate Festival. And so what happens is people are coming in, you know, they've launched at 6 or 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. They're out there before anybody else gets here for the events. They come back in at 2 or 3 o'clock and they get their boat trailer out, go pick a boat up, and they want to go park again so they can clean their fish. Well, by the time they get back, those spots are gone. I mean, it looked like piranhas in there. The people were just circling that lot looking for a place to park. So, you know, I think we can make a better effort to.
Couldn't you put something like, you know, violators will be towed at owner's expense or something, so that you could, I mean, if
we could put all kinds of verbiage in there.
Right. You know,
but again, I think we need to address it, but I'm pretty reluctant to put a bunch of volunteers in the middle of that.
I agree.
Mess. So that's something that we'll have to.
But I think it's also important if we're talking about parking, you know, we talked about this too, and you guys know I've had a fight every weekend for my spot, and my sign's been torn down, and my, you know, car's been spit on and everything else. I've had to put up one sign for a parking space, and I talked to Travis about it, and Travis, as it says in the minutes, that unless it's in your lease, you know, you're kind of SOL. And I looked at my lease and I have two parking spaces that should be designated to me. And I'm
who's responsible for making sure you get that? You're a visitor center. You know what I mean? I don't know how. I mean, it's up to you to kick the visitors out of your spot, basically, then, isn't it? I mean, I don't.
But I put a sign up there that says, you know, visitor center only, don't park there, you know, whatever. And it's the vendors, the Saturday vendors, not the people that are coming in, because that's what it's there for, is hopefully if people need the visitor center and want to pull in and get some information and go, they don't have to park three blocks away. Because, I mean, honestly, and this was something that we had talked about, it isn't, if everyone parks as close as they can to the event, and meaning the vendors, their employees, you know, whatever, by the time the people come, they're back in row 3 and 4. And then anybody who has a retail spot there, unless your clients are just wandering through the event and happen to walk in, you're not going to get personal business because people aren't going to park that far away. And so we should have some designated parking, or the vendors should have to park over by the, you know.
And that's what we say for every event that we put on. We put it in their application, but I'm not the one who's going to go out there and check everybody's license plate. I mean, how do you know who's parked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you do.
All the Saturdays, or
every Saturday, like Saturday market?
Because we kind of know the vendors that we have.
I know.
I see them parking there.
Well, I can tell you.
I'd be all back up there to load up at like 4 o'clock. I've seen that.
Right. And I mean, at that point, I'm not worried about it. But I've had it, and I can tell you who. I mean, I've gone around with a couple of the vendors and stuff that have been there. And we've kissed and made up. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it's frustrating when you're trying to come to work, and your business is being pushed out for a vendor that's going to park there all day long and not move. And I mean, I even went round and round with one of your employees one time over that parking space. And it was like, it was, the rules are for anybody but them.
And you're talking at a big event then, or are you talking at?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and I'm just saying, it's not you guys. I mean, you guys at least try, but if there was some way that any vendor maybe had to have a yellow sheet and you guys told them it has to be in their, you know, on their front dash or something, and they park over by the port office or something like that. I mean, I know at least you're trying to attempt to do it. But what happens is, and you know, the first row, and a lot of times it's the fishing people too that go out like with tide winds and so forth. They're the first ones that are right there. But they supposedly have, I think, 4 parking spaces or something that's supposed to, or 5, okay, that are designated to them. And so first it's usually the fishing people, and then it's the vendors. And then it's the vendor's employees, and then it's when the event happens. So by that point, if you look at it, it's about row 4 that people are parking at that point.
Well, I mean, I kind of glossed over the issues for fishermen because I'm not gonna even try and address this parking out here.
Right.
I mean, this is actually overflow parking when that is full and we've got a big weekend and people park their trailers out here. But during those special events, I wouldn't even attempt to control that. And we've had this boat wash down over here where, you know, the 3 lanes is usually full of cars, so that's not usable either. But I don't think we're going to try and take that one on. If we can stop the parking over in that parking lot, then I would.
But that only and don't get me wrong, but that's only benefiting the port because you're just trying to protect your grant. That's not really dealing with.
Well, no, I'm trying to protect our grant, but more importantly, you know, we're talking special events, okay?
Right.
You know, I look at the fishing season as an event for the community and for the port. We go to a lot of lengths to put together the best package for summer fishing that we can, and we try and attract people here, and we're pretty good at it. We got a lot of them coming, so I want to make sure the people that come here to fish don't have a bad experience either over this sort of thing.
Oh, I agree.
Because that, I mean, it just kind of cuts both ways. So what I'm looking for here is to talk to everybody, get some mutual understanding of what I think is a problem we need to address and then figure out how to get after it, and other things too. But.
Well, I agree that parking lot you're talking about needs to be addressed for that reason, but then I don't think it should be a free-for-all for the rest. I think we need to address all of this, and when there is a big event, how the port expects it to be handled. And I think your best example was how the Kite Festival does it.
Well. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I think we can make a reasonable attempt to fix that. I don't think, based on what I've seen down here for the last 15 years, I don't think there's much we're going to do out here as far as saying these spots are reserved for boat trailers. because you're going to have somebody standing there the entire event to say you can't park here. So what happens to overflow boats after that? I mean, it's going to be ugly because they're going to end up having to go quite a ways. But I don't think there's, I mean, I still don't know what else you're going to do out here with as busy as it is.
We have volunteers standing around all day handling traffic. That's part of what the Kite Festival does. Granted, it's, you know, it's down at that end,
right.
But that is what we do to keep the traffic moving properly and people parking. We have a batch of volunteers handling traffic.
Now
so
we
that
have
may
that
be
issues.
Something that, you know, other events are going to have to copy in some fashion or another. That may be one of the conditions you need to set, that, you know, they design a traffic pattern for their event and have the at least attempt to maintain it, because it doesn't always work perfectly.
Well, again, I'm pretty fired up about that one. This one out here,
yeah.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah, all we can do on that one is, and it won't be as much help, you know, is when our PR goes out, we can also throw a line in there saying to not use the boat trailer parking area. As I said, that's not going to help much because most people don't look at stuff in advance, but we can at least try to help you on that one.
Part of my concern about this one out here is if there's no overflow boats and we're still holding spaces for them and those spaces stay vacant all day long, people aren't going to forget that either. So
you can't win.
No. So that's why I'm saying I think for the purpose at least of my concern, we'll address that parking lot over there, and this one out here will be what it is. But and even
I don't see where that helps events at all.
What's that?
I said I don't see where that helps events at all.
What doesn't?
Just addressing that parking lot.
Okay. Well, if you want to get really
I'm just wondering. I mean, that's why we're here. I don't see where that changes anything for events, other than we can't park there, but then what do we do with the parking situation?
What you suggested?
I don't know. That's what we need. If the boats come first, I mean, this is just
news. Don't go there. I'm telling you that as far as the parking lot at the ramp, the boats
yes.
come first.
Right.
There's no question about that. As far as this out here, I just don't think, from my perspective, and again, my experience down here, that it's reasonable to think we're going to be able to have spots reserved in here for boat trailers. And I say that because, you know, I've got a 22-foot boat, so my boat trailer is 25 feet long on a 20-foot truck. So I'm taking up 45 feet of space. And it's not just a matter of me being able to park, it's a matter of me being able to get that boat trailer back out and around. So in order to do that, you'd have to have a big lane reserved for me to be able to maneuver. And it's just not, from my perspective, it's not practical.
Out here. To save those spaces.
Okay.
I mean,
in the past, I have parked over against the road and backed my trailer in during the Pirate Festival. And this has been years ago, but spent about 4 hours waiting to get out, which is a problem because my boat's sitting down there at the ramp. So I'm just mainly, my concern about that issue with parking is over there. Like I say, this one out here, I mean, unless you guys disagree, I just don't see a good way to say, well, we're going to do something about this out here too.
I guess I was misunderstanding Barbara. I thought she was saying she wanted parking reserved for tenants, not boats.
Well, no. I was just trying to address all the parking situation for Richard. He's obviously concerned about that lot and explain why. I'm just saying in events, when the big events happen, that, you know, we just somehow either the port needs to provide us as merchants with parking spots and signs that say reserve, or we need to ask vendors. I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody. Please don't feel that way. Because I'm just saying, how do we overcome this? Do you ask the vendor to put a sign in their, you know, on their dashboard or something like that, and ask them to park over by the port office? Or, and that's...
If I could, if you look at all the business owners down here, do they all feel like their business is hurt because of parking at these big events?
Not all of them. I mean, obviously, we all know the restaurants
but you feel like
do
your business
very
is hurt.
Well. Yeah, I mean, I can honestly say, and it's nothing against you guys, and we've all talked about it, I should close during events. I really should. Because I know nothing about your event, so I'm not a part of it. Like, everybody comes in and will ask me for a flyer or a program or something, and I send them to your booth because I know nothing. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is that my clients can't get to me, you know, that might be coming
well,
to...
If your clients can't get to you, I would expect that other businesses' clients couldn't get to them, too. So is this something you've gotten from other businesses that
no,
they feel the same way
no,
at all?
No, not necessarily.
Have you asked any of them, or...?
Well, no, but I know that, like, the salon, for instance, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, their clients, if there's an event going on, have to park a little further away. I mean, she didn't complain about it or anything, but she agreed that, you know, that happened and stuff. But no, I haven't talked to anybody about, you know, if they felt about, because look at the restaurant.
It might be a good place to start. Just talk to all the businesses and all the other tenants and see if they think it's an actual problem.
Well, I don't, I mean, to me, a reasonable approach to getting a handle on this would be to have some sort of an identifier on the dashboard of vendors' vehicles.
That's all I'm saying.
And that's all. And just say, okay, so if you're working at a vendor, we're going to make up this yellow card, put it on your dashboard. And then at least we'll be able to identify which are vendors and which are not, and that's a start to try and document what's actually going on down here.
Well, I just me personally, before I don't have a problem with that system, except for that now this is another sort of administrative step and thing we have to deal with, and maybe if we just found out from all the tenants if it was a problem or not first, to simply ask them, and then if they all agreed, yeah, we have a problem here and this, you know, maybe a solution to it, then we'd go ahead and we'd print up cards and we'd change our agreements and, you know.
Okay. Well, that's reasonable. I'll talk to them. I'll take that on. I'll visit with them. And see what we can find out.
Now, for what you're concerned about, your parking there, is that something that the port would take on? Is that something that the event person putting on the event has to be responsible for?
I think it's going to be the port's responsibility to get the signs made.
And to enforce the rules over there. So it won't be up to the person throwing the event.
My initial reaction is you bet, get a bunch of volunteers over there and make it work. But, you know, being an ex-cop, I'm also realistic enough to know that I don't want to get people in those kind of confrontations. I have had conversations with people parking their cars over there my own. And I can tell you, it's some of those people get pretty alley when you get right in their grill about you can't park here. So
that is why we have armed, we have police, you know, there's a sheriff's reserve for the Kite Festival now.
Well, let's just say that I would prefer to start out with signs and see if we can fix it. If that doesn't work, then we'll take the next step, whatever it is. But I just really don't want volunteers for any of these events to have to get in the middle of one of those kind of things. Because the simple problem is if somebody says, yeah, so what are you going to do about it?
Right. Well, being that Michael brought that up, I mean, that's one of the things that I talked about with you at the last meeting. For the 4th of July, half of my budget, other than what I pay for the fireworks, goes to security. There's no security at these events. None. That I'm aware of, anyways. Because everybody comes to me thinking I can call the sheriff or, you know, they think I'm the port office, you know, I mean, and so I do get a lot of those kind of requests, and I just think that it's important. And as I told you, I don't fault anybody for making money during events or anything, but the Pirate Festival was scary. We closed. That's how scary it got.
Well, at the last meeting, my concern about security was that, particularly where alcohol was involved.
Exactly.
My worst nightmare at one of these events would be a big fight, where we made the paper and people got hurt and we had issues. So that's why I put security down here. But I'm not sure what the answer is.
But
the Sheriff's Reserve, if they're available and willing to work down there and the cost is not prohibitive, would certainly be a step up. Private security guards, I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in that system being very effective, but
I truly don't see any problem with the county sheriffs coming down here and walking through one of these events every hour or something.
Well, weren't you going to talk to them about why they have free rent, that they could maybe patronize the events?
I didn't talk to them. I mean, let's be honest. If you've got six road deputies in this county, you're not going to tie one down at this event, at any event.
Not tie them down, but didn't we mention this at the last meeting about just mentioning to them that maybe that way they could help us out during events or something and have a presence? And help everybody.
Yeah. They actually got six deputies.
There's six road deputies in Curry County.
Wow.
So if you have, I mean, if you have an incident, you're pretty much taking potluck who's going to show up. I mean, at any one time, I don't imagine there's more than two or three troopers on duty, and not maybe two deputies during the day. So
I would suggest that large events, and I don't know where you want to draw the line between small, medium, and large events, make arrangements for whatever security you feel is necessary. That is the event's responsibility to provide security.
What do you pay them to do that?
We pay a donation of $750 for 24-hour coverage for 2 days, Friday afternoon until, no, what is it, day and night. Then anyway, from Friday evening through Sunday morning, day and a half, basically.
And that's a donation to the Sheriff's Department?
Yep, to the Sheriff's Reserve. And I think we're getting quite a bargain for that.
Yes, you are. I pay $1,000 for the day.
Okay, well, you just found
And who are you paying?
Ask him a lot.
Sheriff's Reserve for the 4th of July. But see, they're not on a holiday. They're giving me the holiday, so I don't mind paying a little more.
Yeah, and half of our security is, you know, that they're providing us is overnight.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's worked very well for us for 3 or 4 years now.
Do you have overnight security when you have your events here? And who do you use?
We've used a couple different ones, but night security is probably the one we've used the most. The one you don't have faith in, the private one.
Okay. And you mind me asking what you have to pay then?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think he gives us a rate when we give him all of our events, but typically he's like $45 an hour for somebody to park there the whole time.
Okay.
And he's basically on call if we do have an
during
issue
the day. And granted, we've only been doing like the Memorial Day weekend as a alcohol vendor for 6 years, and we've never seen a problem, but I can see why you're worried.
Well, I'll cut right to the chase. I'm worried about the Pirate Festival.
Well, don't talk to me.
I know. Well, I mean, to me, the ones I've been to, and I've been to every special event this year to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
The ones I've been to, the one that I was most, I guess my antennae went up a lot, was at the Pirate Festival.
One thing I would suggest is what I suggested 2 years ago when we first started having meetings about the events in the port, and the port wasn't doing them, is having a review process at the end of the year to look at the events that happened and what Everyone thought what worked, what didn't, if that's something we want or don't want.
That's a great idea.
Well, and that's...
It's been 2 years.
Hopefully, this will be a spinoff of this. I agree, we need to talk more. The port needs to hear what's going on, and if, you know, and we're telling you our concerns that have come up recently about this, but...
But the only thing, I mean, you guys, I've never had a problem at your event other than the parking situation that I've had. I mean, I've never had anybody that drunk or anything. It was scary at the Pirate Festival that we just closed because we weren't going to deal with it. And it was just the drunk that was growing, you know, as far as the day went on. And there was no money in the ATM, and they wanted the vendors and the businesses to, like, let them buy something and give them cash back, and they were getting angry about it. And I just thought somebody was going to walk in there with a gun and rob somebody. And it wasn't worth it to me or my employees. So that's...
Well, I haven't come down here for the fireworks because, frankly, I just don't want to go through the hassle of getting in and out of here during the fireworks. But my past experience, not so much here but in other places, is that the most aggravated stuff I've ever seen has been a 4th of July event, mainly because it goes so long. You know, you start assembling at 10, 11 in the morning, and the day goes on, and you're holding on to get to the fireworks, and there's more and more and more stuff happening, and so that one would concern me also. But I have, like I say, I've been down here, I haven't seen it, so...
Well, I can tell you, by doing the fireworks for the last 2 years, I would hope to think that, and this year will, you know, be a testament to that, but people are here anyways with nothing to do all day long, and they're looking for something. And I think they get in more trouble because there's nothing to do, you know, that if we had some kind of event planned or whatever, that it would be a better thing for, and because they're all kind of locked in there, people will come early and park their cars and so forth, that you kind of have a captive audience, you know, all day looking for something to do. So we're hoping, and we'll see.
Well, there are other things about the 4th that make me nervous, and that's primarily at the beachfront part of the venue. Is if for some reason something happened and you had to get people out of there quickly, you'd have a heck of a time getting them out of there. I mean, you got basically one road in and out. And if
but then again, you've seen our parking lot here on an event day. I wouldn't say it's much easier to
maneuver. No, it's just that whole area.
Yeah.
Well, I think we probably all readily agree that parking is an issue here, no matter what you do and what kind of an event you have. There's just not enough places to park.
Pave over Morberton. Pave over the harbor.
Yeah.
Multi-level parking.
There you go.
Bring in a ferry that we could park cars on for the day or something, you know.
No. Well, I mean, if you wanted to take it to the extreme, you could look at finding places to rent to park cars and bus people back and forth, but I'm not personally ready to go there and dump that on all the vendors and say, oh yeah, by the way, you got to go rent a pasture from.
Well, and somebody. speaking from experience, it's not going to work, because at least when we've tried it 1 or 2 years, the property company that manages the shopping center there on Lower Harbor has said no. We thought of that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of going out on Ocean View and renting a farm.
Okay.
Yeah, that could work too.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. So,
parking is a problem. Security is needed. Where else do we go on this? What other concerns have you got? Those are the big ones,
would
obviously,
you guys have... Alex and Mike, would you guys have, could you do your events on the kite field? Would people come to them there, do you think, or?
There's no power on the boardwalk anymore. I think there's even less on the kite field, so I'd say no.
And so that's a big thing for us. It's one of the infrastructure problems with doing events down here. Not only is the boardwalk falling apart, we have less tables, but the power is lousy and not enough, and, you know, it's worse on the kite field.
It's worse on the kite, okay.
So how much more power do you need?
We've been short like 350 amps at an event.
Everything's going to 50 amp.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this port.
So I think is there 250 amps and a 30 amp?
There's
there?
150,
150
and there's 130 that's very iffy. It always goes out. Whenever I have a food guy plug into that, he's always tripping the breaker.
Hey, at least yours goes out. Mine burns like cords.
Yeah.
There is that.
There is, yes.
So either place isn't really adequate. You guys need more power.
Neither one is perfect. This is a better setting over here.
It's more picturesque. People don't come here to stand on a, you know, grassy field. They want to look at the water and the boats.
Yeah.
Go lean on a railing if possible.
Okay.
Yeah, I think for what you do, this is the perfect place for it.
And Joe and I talked about this a little bit, but you guys were at the meetings when the neighbors were complaining, like, about the noise and stuff, remember, from Zola's and all that, because we were saying, why not put the stage, like, in between my building and Tidewind's there?
Because then it's right across the river. That's
if we angled it the same direction as we do now, that might work.
But
since we have set it up and been angling it right out the mouth of the river,
I haven't heard any complaints unless you guys have. So.
No, I haven't. But I do believe there's a 10 o'clock ordinance, so they really can't complain until 10 o'clock.
Yep.
But we were just thinking, I mean, we were just talking one day how it could look better down there, like on that gravel area, if you were able to put the stage and they could maybe build something there.
I go to a lot of motorcycle runs. That's why I don't go to another defense at the port, and not just one or two. I'm gone every weekend. And I've seen some pretty tricked out stages that people have made themselves that would, I think, would work dandy for this port. I don't know how much
to move it around anymore.
Huh?
We wouldn't have to move it around.
That's right.
Right. But there were the complaints. You guys heard them, right? About the music projecting.
I haven't heard any complaints. So.
Oh, I have. It's been a year or so now since.
The stage is always angled right down the mouth of the river.
Yeah. Now that you guys have it good.
Have you gotten any complaints on the cannons?
No.
I'm surprised. Closest I think I've ever come to having my heart seize up as I was washing my boat down here one day, and all of a sudden, bloom, and I thought, oh my God. So, let's hear some thoughts from you guys. What's working, what's not working?
I think we've got, I don't know, I feel like I kind of just express most of it. The power is an issue. The fact that, you know, that stretch of the boardwalk is still condemned is kind of an issue. But
okay. Anything else? Set up, takedown?
The only thing, other thing I'd mention is that I don't know what the port's system of cleaning and so on around the boardwalk area and table and stuff is, but what it appears to be from when we come down to set up every Saturday is that we clean the picnic tables and apparently nobody else does. So, I mean, there's dried ice cream and food and bird poop and stuff on all the tables, and every Saturday morning we're cleaning them. So, I don't know what the system is, but that does take my staff time and some equipment to do. So.
And the only other thing is, like, in the restrooms, there's two different locks on the toilet paper. And, like, when a stall is out of toilet paper, I hate to leave just a roll sitting there. I want it on that locked thing, but every year I only get one key, so I can only do that in two of the stalls. You know, it would be nice to have access to make sure I can put toilet paper in every stall. That would be good.
Okay. So what do we charge you? $50 for power?
I think it's included in the fee, according to the contract that I signed.
Okay. There has been, I've been asked questions whether that's enough to cover events or not, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure.
You would have to tell me.
Do you guys pay the same for a Saturday market as you do for an event?
No, I pay per vendor on Saturday markets. Because I'm sure, as you've noticed, we don't stretch all the way down.
Right. Well, that works out better for you, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pay $300 every Saturday market, I wouldn't be doing Saturday market.
And you do that from May to October, or through October?
Nope, just through the middle of October, because there's usually that little bubble fishing thing.
Okay, nice.
I like to catch that.
Okay. Any other issues? Kite Festival, no?
Kite Festival, after the interesting comment that we should be charged $4,000 that was floated a year or two ago, everything's gone perfectly well. I mean, the power has been upgraded. The field has been repaired when idiots decide to do donuts on it.
Yeah.
And we've got to apparently have a good arrangement for us taking care of the field in future.
Because that's basically, we have taken over
yeah.
a lot of the stuff that the port used to give yeah. to us.
Yeah, and the port backed off from funding events we picked up, so you know, we now have our own tents, which we used to borrow from the port.
And picnic tables and chairs, people to clean up.
Yeah, so we basically walk into a clean field and leave it cleaner than when we came in.
What kind of power do they have out there?
I was afraid somebody was going to ask me that, and I don't know the answer. We have a new power box at the south end.
Vendor end.
Just put in, snuck in just before the festival this year, and I
for food vendors.
Yeah, so we handle about we take about 7 food vendors, and I honestly don't. No, I wasn't on the vendor committee this year, and so I don't know what their power requirements are. I'm going to have to learn that, because I've got vendor committee this year.
And then we have some down at the far end of the field. We have a small one.
We have another one. There's another one down there that gets split between what little electricity we use for our Flyers and Volunteers Cafe, you know, which is basically just heating up some crock pots and things like that, and then for the sound people.
So there is enough on the north side?
On the north end, there's enough for
A band for?
I would think so. If Ed Adjumini.
No.
Because he runs that, you know, Ed Adjumini runs his sound system there.
You haven't seen the sound system then. Yeah. Sound system you're going to start bringing in this year, do you want to bring in? Nope.
Will the other side work?
No. I don't think so. I'd have to really look into it.
You'd have to ask, like, those guys, the Boys of Summer, if they, because they're going to be bringing their own stuff. Maybe they'll rent the one they used at
the park.
And I could be wrong. I've never looked at his plug over there, but...
Yeah.
But you'd have to ask them how many amps they need.
Okay.
If they can handle 7 food vendors, I'm sure they'll be all right. I can't do 2 on the boardwalk.
Is the Pirate Festival as big as the Kite Festival?
I have no idea. I haven't been to it in 15 years.
No.
I've never been to the... Oh, I take that back. I've been there once, I think.
Yeah,
we went once, and that was
first or second year, and that was all I needed to see.
And I don't think they have that much food there, to be quite honest. I think a lot of it is vendors,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I looked, they had a couple of bounce house things, which are running off of 110. I mean, not a big
yeah.
amperage draw, I don't think. And one of them actually had a generator running.
Mm.
And I don't know how many different power cords were plugged in over there, but there was a bunch. I mean, 20 or 30.
And they had 2 different stages going,
yeah.
too. So...
Well, the Oompa band isn't going to take nearly as much amperage as electric guitars. Right.
I'll look into that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, still they have to have the sound amplified.
Right.
So that everybody can hear.
Right.
I know it's not the same as electrical instrument.
It's the lighting. Has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah. And we always end at dusk, so it's like twinkle lights is all we have on our stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have to look into the electrical part of all of it.
Yeah. And
thank you for inviting me so I know what to look for. I wouldn't have given a thought to power.
Oh, no worries. I mean, this we're all learning from this, too.
It worked last year, so that's all I needed to know.
But, so you guys, if you could, I don't know, maybe explain to us a little bit, but you have it set up where you have a shuttle, and your shuttle is one of the buses from
Three buses from, God, I want to say CTR. That's
Curry Public Transit.
CPR.
Yeah.
CPT.
Yeah.
Okay.
The people that headquarter out of the activity center. And we rent three of them. We used to rent two and had one donated from Seaview, but that's a deal in the past.
Okay.
They may be changing, who knows, but basically, yeah, we rent three shuttles. We rent them from 9:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. And they basically
8:30 in the morning.
8:30, excuse me. And they basically run all day.
Okay. And they shuttle from this parking lot.
They shuttle from basically the ocean end of this parking lot, you know, about the last parking island down there, down to the restrooms in the RV park. That's the two ends of it.
Okay.
We put a tent down here and a couple people down there to talk to them as they're waiting for the bus, try to, you know, hype them up for the festival. And then at the other end, they go through the opening in the fence, and that runs them right past our headquarters tent where they can, and we pass out programs. We rent Space 31 from you every year and put a picnic table in there and pop up and pass out programs like mad. You know, welcome to the Kite Festival. Can I give you a program?
No, here's a program. There's the kite, too.
Okay. Anything else?
No, the field power.
How does it work, if you don't mind me asking, like during the Kite Festival for the people parking along for the ocean? I mean, that stays open, right?
Stays open, and we reverse the flow of traffic through on that side for the hours we have our road closure permit, and which leads to a little inconvenience because, you know, some people aren't so comfortable backing in, so occasionally there is a delay as somebody tries to maneuver into a parking spot. We also have volunteers along there to stop traffic, so while the maneuvering is going on. We have at least one volunteer, sometimes more, in the parking area by the tent camping. We have a couple volunteers at the restroom area where the shuttle turns around and all the traffic goes through to control traffic or try to control traffic through there. We have traffic volunteers down at the entrance to the RV park and also just a little ways over on Slower Harbor Road along the hills, Boat Basin Road, where the parking, where the road separates to go down the ocean front, because we get a road closure permit from the county and we close off Boat Basin Road at that point up to the end for about 9 o'clock till a little after four, about 4:30, give our crowds time to walk out. Our traffic pattern is everything goes up through the RV park because we have it controlled with volunteers in several spots. They either go into the parking by the tent camping, or they make a loop and come down by the ocean. and then back out onto Boat Basin and over to Lower Harbor Road and off to wherever. That takes care of the looky-loos. That was a big problem when we ran them behind. People would stop and stare. The area between the kite field and the Boat Basin is, one side is roped off for staff only for the festival. The other side, the area at the south end, is reserved for vendors who are parking immediately behind their spaces, or the far end is sort of a mixed bag of boat owners and, you know, people who need access to the boat and people who arrive at the kite festival early. I used to park in there. On the north side of the restroom, we reserve a number of spaces for handicap parking, and then beyond that is reserved for boat owners. So all of our flyers are supposed to be parked next to the field. The side next to the Boat Basin is north of the bathrooms, is handicap, and then boat owners. And we control, the port gives us a list of the people who have slips over in that area, and somebody says, well, I got to get to my boat. Well, what slip is it in? I don't know. Go around the other way. Coast Guard goes through there because they have to have access. And same thing for the fishing dock. Somebody comes through with some fishing poles, says, I'm going fishing. They get run through the back. But we try to minimize traffic through there as much as possible.
That's great.
Dang, I've been here for 40 years and I couldn't tell you what slip my boat.
Well, Joe, you got a problem. don't try to get your boat during the kite festival.
I'm not on that side. That's funny. I hate it when someone, where's your boat at? Boat Basin? By the bathrooms?
It's green.
That's what I say. Like, it's the green one.
Yeah.
It's the only green one.
We just had to have some way to figure out who.
How to thin the crowd out.
No, I know.
Yeah, I haven't, I know several people who have boats over on that side by you, and I haven't heard anybody complain yet.
Once we got the system set up and working, before that we had a couple of years of fights because we didn't get the list, and you know, well, I got a boat, well, but you haven't got anything, well, I do have a boat, and
so. Not very upset.
Yeah, yeah. We got that settled.
A lot of those folks you probably wouldn't see. They get there pretty early.
Oh yeah, I know. There are a lot. They're out before we get there, and they aren't back by the time we leave.
Yeah, I think our worst case special event would be a big special event with a big tuna day going on, where we had everybody in the world out here. And so.
But tuna don't usually show up that in midsummer, do they?
Yeah, they're beginning to. Yeah, from 4th of July on, it can be pretty big. Okay, well. At this point, I think we've identified a few things. So it looks to me like my task is to, I'm going to write all this up so that we kind of have an idea of what we're talking about. I'm going to get hold of the businesses and talk to them about their reaction to special events and what they feel. The last time we had this meeting, I asked the question of the group, so are special events appropriate for the Port of Brookings Harbor? That was kind of the basic question, and I think the resounding answer was yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know that, you know, the Kite Festival doesn't do much for the harbor, but it does a lot for the community.
Yeah, well, we're a tourist-oriented place. Mm-hmm. It's important for us, for the town, to have that sort of thing. Yeah. Frankly, if you didn't have this, I don't know where you'd go.
Crescent City would be more than happy to take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But locally, two years ago when they were wanted to charge us $4,000 a day, that we went down that during the next few months after the festival and talked to people down in Crescent City, and they said, sure, you can come down here.
And as far as locally, that's why it's here. There are only two places around here where it can reasonably be held. One is South Beach in Crescent City, and the other one is here. This was not the first choice for the Kite Festival by any means. But at that time, Crescent City didn't want to support it, and so this was the only one that had something close to infrastructure to support a festival. At least that's what I hear from the people who ran this thing before I ran it.
Okay. Well, I'll just I'll mention a couple of other challenges that we're going to have to deal with. That bathroom down there adjacent to the beach.
Oh, yeah. I've seen all the problems about sand.
Well, there's a fairly good chance that's going to have to be closed and replaced. And so we're trying to figure out how on earth we could do that. You're looking at about $250,000 for a new bathroom shower combination.
How long has it been there?
40 years.
Over 40. I've been here 40 years and it's been here.
It's in bad shape. I mean, it really is. It's got a lot of issues beyond the sand that's got to get fixed. But we're under a pretty severe, how can I put this nicely?
We have been
pretty severely advised that we need to fix that from Harbor Sanitation. Uh-oh. And they certainly have a case. If there's sand getting in there, it affects their equipment, their pumps, and all that sort of stuff. So we're kicking that around right now. But if that comes back, when that comes back, you can expect it to be turned around so the doors don't face the ocean, because that's one of the problems. And at least on the shower part of it, I think you would probably also see locks on those doors, as well as the one down here by the commercial basin. We've been talking about, you know, how are we going to handle some of the emerging American issues like homeless people that have now discovered our showers. And so we've been talking about, well, maybe what we're going to have to do on places where we have showers for, like, the commercial fishermen and the RV park, we're going to have to put a keypad or a lock of some kind on there. Yeah. So, and I hate to have to do that, but I don't know what else you do in this day and age. So, okay. Anybody have anything else? Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you for the notice on Harbor Sanitation, because we wouldn't have known anything about the fees for our porta potties until we walked in and went, what?
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming. Like I said, I'll write this up. Got everybody's email address. We'll do some work and mock up a permit that has these boxes on it I'm talking about, and we'll get back together again.
And you're going to talk to the
merchants?
Okay.
So at 8:03, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.